Praise the
We need to get that lady in the pink shirt up there with us the next time.
Well, I'm hoping next week we'll probably have what are they called? The Joyful Five.
Joyful Five, Slightly Happy Four,
Slightly Happy Four,
Melancholy Three.
So I'm hoping next week maybe they can come and they can come up here and sing too.
That'll work.
And, I'm hoping one night. See, they won't be here.
Girls are going to the river.
Oh, y'all going to the river. So can we make an appointment for the week after that?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
So well, Dean, are you and Audrey going to the river? Well, there you are.
Well, they've got Billy.
And Billy, yeah. What a trio.
All right. Well, I tell you what I want next week. I want you to sing that song that breaks my heart every time you sing it. Wish You Were Here.
Oh, okay.
If you bring it next week, that'd be good. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. We got a real special singer coming next week.
We do?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Mom, Dad's coming down next week.
Well, I want him to sing too. So tell him to be prepared to sing. I enjoyed that. You know, my mama said, if you can't be good, be loud. And that, if you can't do it good, just do it loud. Amen. I enjoy that. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. This is a text that we can't emphasize enough, because this is the great commandment in the law. In fact, the commandment that Jesus shares with us is out of Deuteronomy. And the second commandment, the first and the second commandment, Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you want to please God, you have to get these two commandments. So instead of doing a responsive reading tonight, I thought maybe we'd just read it together. It's not a long session. But someone asked Jesus, he said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And if you'll read with me, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." May God bless the reading and preaching of His Word. You know, when you go to watch these televangelists and these people on TV, and what they're going to tell you is something, they're going to tell you that God has given a commandment that you're to love yourself. And you hear a lot of that today. You're to love yourself. You're to put yourself first. You're supposed to do things for yourself. You're supposed to be the center of your universe. But there is no commandment in the Bible that teaches us to love ourselves. We all naturally love ourselves. If you're sane, you love yourself. I was hammering nails one day, and I happened to miss the nails that I was hammering on and hit the nail that I didn't want to hit. And you know what I did when I hit that fingernail?
Yes.
I went, "Oh, you bad finger, you hurt." And I just beat the tar out of it with the hammer. Do y'all believe that?
No.
No, I didn't. You know what I did? When I hit that finger, I grabbed that finger and I kissed it like it was Raquel Welch. I loved on that finger. I was walking one time and I twisted my ankle, and I sit down and I'll be doggone, I kissed my foot. You love yourselves. You're born loving yourself. The cry of the baby is a cry of that child loving itself. You see, children don't have to be taught to love themselves. No one has to be taught to love themselves. It's hardwired into you. It's hardwired. It's how we survive as a species. And even people say, "Well, Brother David, what about those who commit suicide?" I hate to tell you this, but those who commit suicide love themselves more than anyone else. Because rather than fixing their problem, they say, "I'm out of here because I want to be out of here." You see, that's self-love that has gone wrong. But the Bible has never given a command for us to love ourselves. The Bible tells us that God made us to love ourselves. We know that. But God tells us that we're supposed to diminish ourselves. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 16, he said, "If anybody will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
I think the problem with America today is we're so busy loving ourselves, we're burning the house down. Because you'll never have a joyous life if you put yourself first. Somebody said one time that joy is spelled J-O-Y. And the reason it's spelled that way is Jesus first, amen, others second, amen, and then yourself last. When you give first and you give to others, that's when you start to enjoy life. But when you make yourself the middle of everything, the center of everything, you lose joy. That first commandment that God gives us is this. He says, and Jesus says in Matthew 22:37, He says, this is the great commandment. I want you to notice the first two words of the commandment. Thou shalt. This is not a suggestion. This is not a recommendation. This is a command from God.
Amen.
They asked him, they said, what is the great commandment? Not the great recommendation. And Jesus said, thou shalt. God expects this of us. He expects us to do this. This is what God wants us to do. But not only that, if you don't keep that commandment, you'll never be happy.
Amen.
You can't be happy filling up your life with yourself. All you become is shallow and weak. But when you begin to fill up your life with God, then your life becomes beautiful because God is in it. And God will bless that. He said, thou shalt. He said, you're to do this. And he says, thou shalt love. And I want you to notice what he says, the Lord thy God. He said, you're to love the Lord thy God. You're not to be your own God, but God is to be your God.
Amen.
You belong to God and you're supposed to love him. You love him because he is God. He made you. You didn't make yourself.
Amen.
God loved you and he gave himself for you. And God died on the cross for you and rose again to show you he's defeated death and hell. Jesus has done everything for us. And we're to love the Lord. And he says, our God. Thy God is how he says it. You see, we're not to love any other God. We're not to love the gods of men. We're not supposed to love the gods that they invent. We're not supposed to love ourselves, first of all, but we're supposed to love the Lord our God. And then he says this. He says, you're to love the Lord your God. And look how Jesus phrases this. With all your heart. Y'all say that with me. With all your heart. Now, what does that mean? What is the heart? The heart is the emotional part of man. You know, we live in a feel-good age today. People say if it feels good, it must be right. You know what God says? He says, you're to love me with all of your heart, with all of your want-tos, with all of your feeling. That love is supposed to come to me, God said, because God made you that way. And frankly, you won't work well when you begin to run around and try to love and fill your heart up with the wrong stuff. I remember when I was in the military, we drove all different types of equipment. And I've driven everything from crane trucks to big old trucks, big wheels and little wheels. And they all run on different type of fuel. I remember one time I rode up to the fueling station and I began to pump gas into that vehicle just as hard as I could. And I noticed there was a little writing on the cap area there. And it had an exclamation point. And underneath the exclamation point, it had something I hated to see. It said, diesel fuel only. And I'm pumping gas into that thing just as hard as I can. I pulled that thing out and I went inside and I was red in the face and I looked at the man and I said, the guy was running the diesel station. He was an officer. And I told him, I said, I had put the wrong fuel in this vehicle. He said, well, you messed up, but at least you didn't try to start it with the wrong fuel mixture. Because if you tried to start a diesel engine with gasoline in it, you'd have been in big trouble because you'd have blown that engine. And then he told me, he said, well, you made the mistake, go out there and pump it all out. And I want to tell you, it come out a whole lot harder than it went in.
Amen.
But you can't run a diesel vehicle on gasoline. You can't run a gasoline vehicle on diesel. God made you in his image and after his likeness. And God made you to walk with him and to talk with him and to be with him.
Amen.
And God made you to fill your life up with loving God. You need to go to God and love him with all that you have. You don't need to ask your friends what they think is right. You need to ask God what he thinks is right.
Amen.
And then you need to do what God says. Jesus said, you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. not to reserve any part of it to something else. He says you're to love God more than you love anybody else. You're to love God more than you love your wife. You're to love God more than you love your children. You're to love God more than you love your grandma and your grandpa. But I tell you this, if you'll love God more than you love everybody else, then you'll start to love everybody else. Because when you fill your heart with love for God, then you'll feel the love of God shining out of you on other people. And you can't be a good parent if you're not loving God first. But if you're loving God first, you'll be a great parent. You can't be a good husband if you're not loving God first. But if you're loving God first, then you'll be a great husband. And you can't be a good wife if you're not loving God first. I'm going to say that again. You can't be a good wife if you're not loving God first. Because sometimes them men are irritating, ain't they? Did I say that out loud? But if you love God first, then you'll be a good wife. See, when your heart's filled with love for God, then you learn to love others too. Jesus said here, that Jesus was talking one time and he said this, he said, listen. He says, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. And he said, all these evil things come out of the heart. You know how to make your heart less evil? Fill it up with God. Amen. Put God in your heart. Let God be your desire. Do what you do because you love God, and God will bless you. Jesus said you need to love your God, Lord your God, with all your heart. I want you to notice what he says next. And he says, with all your soul. Now that's a powerful statement because your soul is who you are. The soul is what's inside of you that animates you. This body right here is going to die one day, but your soul will go back to God who owns that soul. That's where it's going to be. And he said, you're to love God with all your soul. You should define your life by loving God. When people look at you, they should see God in you. If you're born again, they need to see God in you. And they need to hear God in you. They need to see God smiling out of your face and coming out of your fingertips. I heard one time about a preacher was preaching, and behind him was a picture of Jesus. And there's a little boy sitting on the front row watching the preacher. But every time the preacher moved this way, the little boy would ease over. His mama leaned over and she whispered to him, she said, son, what are you doing? Why do you keep leaning over? And he said, you know, that preacher keeps getting between me and Jesus. Nobody should be between somebody else and Jesus. They need to see Jesus in you. Jesus said, this is a commandment to live for God. And when Jesus told us to pick up our cross and follow him, what he was saying is, you're supposed to go through the hard times loving God. Oh, it's easy to praise God when the times are easy. Amen? But it's harder to praise God whenever the times are tough. But if you fill your soul up and you define yourself by loving God, then God will bless you. And you'll not be doing it by yourself, because if you're born of God, then the Holy Spirit indwells you. God is in the middle of your life. Amen. We're to define our lives by God. He says you're to love the Lord your God. He says with all your heart. He says with all of your soul. And then I want you to notice the next thing he says. He says, and with all your mind. With all your mind. That's the reasoning part of you. And I'm going to tell you something. God knows better than I know. And God knows better than you know. People are always trying to tell us what happened whenever everything was created. But I've never met anybody yet who was there when everything was created. Have y'all met anybody there that was there when it was created? Scientists will tell you it happened this way, it happened that way. You know what my Bible tells me? My Bible tells me God created everything in 6 days. My Bible tells me that he spoke everything into existence. My Bible tells me that he done it. People say, well, scientists have figured out there was a Big Bang. Well, I don't care how God done it, but God done it. He might have made a big bang. He might have used a tambourine. He might have used anything. I don't know. I just know God spoke it into existence. Amen. And people can come up with all this kind of stuff. But all they're trying to do is trying to hide God. I believe what God said. Now, to the world, that makes me crazy. But to God, that makes me sane. I believe that God sent His only Son to this world to die for sin. How does blood cover sin? I don't know. But I know my God tells me that Jesus' blood covers sin.
Amen.
That God judges sin and that Jesus' blood covers sin. You know, not too long ago, John MacArthur, and he's one of the good television preachers, though I don't want you to stay home on Sunday listening to him. I want you to come into church. Amen?
Amen.
But not too long ago, John MacArthur said this and got into all kinds of trouble. He said, no one is gay. People commit adultery. They commit sins of homosexuality. They lie, they steal, they cheat. That's like saying, you know, I keep robbing banks, but I'm a robber. I'm a bank robber. What am I going to do? I'm a bank robber. That is not an excuse for what you do. Are there certain kinds of impulses that lead people in that direction? Yes. But I think one of the most deadly aspects of this is to let people define themselves as gay. People are not gay any more than an adulterer is hardwired to be forced by his own nature to commit adultery. Those are all behavioral sins that are condemned in Scripture. God did not hardwire anyone in such a way that they're not responsible for their behaviors.
Amen.
I want you to think about those words. People got mad at John MacArthur for that. And people get mad today when they hear that God is against sexual sin. But God defines sin. God says what's right. God says what's wrong. God sets the standard. And loving God with all of our mind is to go to God and say, God, I know you said that, and I don't understand it, but you're way smarter than I am.
Amen.
So I'm just going to obey you.
Amen.
You see, loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind means being surrendered to God. And if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it'll be wrong if everybody in America votes for it and says it's right.
Amen.
It'll still be wrong. The Muslim's not going to heaven. The Hindu's not going to heaven. It's not going to happen. The followers of Buddha are not going to heaven. Why is that? Because God said He sent His only begotten Son into the world to pay for sins. That means that there is a very narrow place of salvation. And that place is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's believing that He did what He said He was going to do. And trusting your life to Him for that. Whether you understand it or not. I can't understand a lot of the things I read in the Scripture. But doggone it, I believe it. Because God said it. And for me, that settles it. We're to love God with all of our mind. And when the world comes up with this crazy stuff and they start pushing this crazy stuff, what we're supposed to do is to go back to the great commandment and say, what has it said? It said, I'm to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, all of my emotion. I'm to define myself by God with all of my soul. And I'm to believe Him no matter what anybody else says. I will believe God.
Amen.
That's the first commandment. And it's a great commandment. You say, Brother David, is there anyone who has ever lived their life that way? I think there's been plenty of people who try to live their life that way. I know we all strive to live our lives that way and sometimes fail in living our lives that way. But just because we fail does not mean we should not strive. There's a fellow and his wife, and I mentioned them briefly this morning, a fellow I greatly admire. He was a Babylonian from ancient Ur of the Chaldees. His name was Abraham. And God came to Abraham and He told Abraham, He said, Abraham, if you'll follow me, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a child. Out of that child, you're going to get a nation. And out of that nation, the whole world is going to be blessed by you. And He told Abraham that. And Abraham waited until he was over 100 years old when that child was born. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be chasing no youngin' and changing diapers at 100 years old. But he was happy to do that. And Abraham was just having a great time, and his child was growing up. And if you do the math, Abraham was about 115, 116. And God told Abraham, he said, Abraham. Abraham said, what, Lord? God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I'll show you. And while you're on that mountain, I want you to sacrifice that child to me. Now, Abraham heard that, and he didn't argue with God. Immediately, Abraham got ready. He got his wagons together. He got everything together. And he headed up into that place, and he took servants with him, and they took everything they needed for a sacrifice. They got to Mount Moriah. And Abraham's son Isaac looks at him. He says, Daddy, I see we brought the wood. And I see we brought the fire. But where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. As Abraham got to depart, he said something strange to the men who rode up to that mountain that day with him. He said, me and my son are going to go to this mountain to worship. And we'll be back in a little bit. And if you'll read your King James, that's what he said. We'll be back in a little bit. Now, does that mean that he wasn't going to sacrifice his son? No. He was intent on killing that boy. Why? You know, we could sit there and reason with God. Why would you want him to do that? He's went through all these years waiting on his child. Here he is, about 115. He finally learned to play baseball with this boy, and God wants him dead. And he could have argued with God and fought with God and debated with God. He could have let his heart take him away and said, God, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to hide my baby. He could have used his mind and reasoned him out. This must be the devil talking. I'm not going to talk to God. He could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. But Abraham loved God with everything that Abraham had. He loved God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. He went up onto that mountaintop, and he had Isaac lay down on that wood that day. And he strapped him down like you'd strap a lamb down to sacrifice it. Abraham got his knife, and as he stood over his son, I'm sure there were tears running down his face, because we're just human. But Abraham didn't understand this, but he knew this. God had told him to do it. So what did he do? He drew back his hand and got ready to plunge that knife into his son's throat, just like he would do for the lamb that was sacrificed. And right then, God called out and said, Abraham, Abraham, hold back your hand. Abraham took that boy down from that place, and he looked up in the thicket, and he saw a ram in the thicket that could be sacrificed. But God told Abraham something that day that I pondered over many years. God told Abraham, he said, now I know you fear me. Now God knows the end from the beginning. God knows everything. God knows tomorrow. He knows the lottery. He knows who's going to win. He knows who's going to play it. God knows everything. But then God told Abraham, he said, now I know that you love me, that you fear me. How does God know that we love him? It's by what we do. It's not by what we say. Oh, it's real easy to say, I love you, and 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 I love you. And it's real easy to say that, but that doesn't prove love. What proves love is when the rubber meets the road, you do what God says. And that's how God knows. And that's why God blessed Abraham the way God blessed Abraham. And that's why the Messiah came out of Israel. And why Jesus came to this earth. How do I know that God loves me? Because of what God done. He sent Jesus to die in my place. That's how I know that God loves me. It was more than lip service. It was action. And God calls his people to action. So the great commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How can I show that? Jesus goes to the second commandment: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's how we prove we love God. We love others like we love ourselves. We show the same level of respect to those around us. Who is my neighbor? The person that's in proximity to me. And we show them the same level of respect that we ourselves want. We show others the love that we want. And by loving others before we love ourselves, and as we love ourselves, we show God that we're His own. The Bible says over there in 1 John, it says, if a man says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him, because God is love. Oh, that's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
That's good stuff. Loving others means stepping outside of yourself and doing what you should. If you love God, you'll keep His commandments, Jesus said. And the Bible tells us, this is the love of God. We keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to love others the way you love yourself. We just need to reflect that. And we need to do that. We need to love. Because that's what the world needs. That's what will draw people to us as His people. That's the message that God gives you. Love God with all you have, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Y'all going to preach another hour?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Let's go on then. It's good to be in the house of God. Jerry, I enjoyed you leading us in singing a while ago, and I enjoyed singing with you. I always feel more high quality when I got high quality next to me. So how about coming up here and leading us in a final song, whatever God has placed on your heart?
Flattery will get you everywhere. Let's go to a simple little hymn and sing out our benediction this evening, number 23. And we'll do verses 1, 3, and 4.